Yeah, I believe I have a word from heaven on my heart this morning. And I can say that with all confidence for God's people, for those who have ears to hear. And God will speak to us here. And also all of you dear people who are watching this live webcast. It is so awesome. And I pray the Spirit of God will burn this into our hearts. Why God called and chose you and me. Why did God call you and why did He choose you? We have the answer there in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. And the Lord said to Abraham, verse 1, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I'll make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. I want to underline this, and it says, in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. In you, and as we will listen further, in your seed. And that refers to Jesus. All the families of the earth will be blessed. And turn with me now to Genesis chapter 18. And God spoke to Abraham further. Genesis chapter 18. When God promised Abraham a son. Abraham wanted Ishmael to live before God, but God said, no. He says, I will give you a son. Verse 14, is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return. Verse 14, at this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. And Sarah laughed in unbelief, and she didn't believe that it was possible. And then God was going to bring judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. And God said in verse 17, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And this is why God has chosen, not only chose Abraham, but chose you and me. He says, for I have chosen him, so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. God said there, I've chosen him so that he may command his children and his household, his family after him to keep the way of the Lord. So I hope we understand why God has chosen us. It's not just you and me as individuals. He's chosen us with a far-reaching purpose, my brothers and sisters. In you, God said to him, when he called him, all the families of the earth will be blessed. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. And that is our calling. And God has chosen us. He has chosen you and me so that we may command. It says there, we may command our children and our family after us to keep the way of the Lord. And we cannot expect our children and our family to keep the way of the Lord if we don't keep it. If we don't follow the way of the Lord, we can't expect them to follow. And so God is interested in our families. And that's the work that He wants to do, is in us and through us as families. That is God's calling. The family relationship is God ordained. God ordained and established the first family right in the very beginning, after He created and made everything, and He saw that it was good, it was very good. There was something that God saw that was not good. He saw it was not good for man to be alone. So therefore He made a helper for him, suitable or corresponding for him. God put him in a family. God made the first family. And that was God ordained. That's the institution of marriage, was because God wanted a family. He didn't want individuals. He wanted a family with whom he could have fellowship with. Not just Adam, but he wanted Eve, and that's why he gave Adam Eve. And it says in Psalm 63 that God puts the lonely in a family. The church is the family of God. And I hope you found your place here. God puts the lonely in a family. If you've been lonely, I hope that you see that this is a family. This is not an institution. This is not an organization. This is not some man's clever idea. This is a family. It's the body of Christ. And our marriages and our homes and our family, like I said last week, that comes first, because that's where the church begins. That's where the church is. That's where I must seek to build the church first. That's where I must seek to have fellowship with my wife and help my children. And so it's important, because God created the family, and God has chosen us so that our families will be blessed. That's why he called Abraham, and he says, I've chosen him so that he may command his children after him and his family to keep the way of the Lord. And I hope we seek to do that. We recognize this morning that's why God has chosen us. Not that I can give myself to the church, I can sacrifice, I can do many things, but God has chosen me to command my children after me, to command my family after me. Let me have many examples like that in the scriptures to keep the way of the Lord. So everything God made is good, and when God made the family, it was very good. The best thing that could ever have happened on the earth was a family. You see that? And that's why God has given us families physically. That's why the church is a family. And God wants to work through us. But like everything God does, there is an enemy. The enemy came there, the arch enemy of our souls. He came to destroy what God had created, the family that God had created, and he came to destroy the bonds that God had created. He came to destroy the relationship. And from there began all the problems that we see in many homes and families. It grieved God that Adam and Eve, in choosing, they chose to act independently. They chose to succumb to the devil's lie. The devil got in there in the very first family, and he sought to destroy, first of all, the relationship that they had with God, began to get them to doubt God's love, and then the relationship with each other. And there began all the problems through the ages, through the centuries, in every home and in every family. When they choose to disobey God. They chose to disobey God. They chose to believe the devil's lie. And they did not believe God. They did not seek to obey Him. And that resulted in them being separated from God. That resulted to all the problems. They were driven out of their first home. And all the problems began there, my brothers and sisters. They were driven out of God's presence, because they chose to disobey. Because of unbelief, they chose to be independent. And God had to drive them out from their beautiful home, from fellowship and presence there, from the presence of God. But not without a promise. And everything that God does, there's always a promise, there's always hope. And God said there, God gave the promise of what God said to Abraham, in you, in your seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And God said, there gave them the promise. He cursed the serpent. He didn't curse man. He didn't curse Eve. He cursed the serpent. He cursed the earth. And he gave them a promise. He shall bruise you on the head. That is Christ. And you shall bruise him on the heel. And that, with that promise, they were driven out from God's presence. But that was a promise of hope. And what people today celebrate all over the world, when they think of the resurrection of Jesus, they forget really what Jesus did. And looking and watching the Passion of the Christ is one thing that would get stuck in my mind in an image I like that there. With all the temptation that Jesus faced in the Garden of Gethsemane when the devil came to him, do you really think you can do this? Do you really think you can bear the sins of the world? Do you really think you can go through this? And what he faced there, and the devil appeared to him, and he agonized and agonized, and he wanted the cup to pass, but he said, Father, not my will, your will be done. Then I liked that there. And we saw this serpent crawling, and some of you, if you remember that movie, saw this serpent crawling, and then Jesus got up from that agony, the anguish of prayer, and he crushed the serpent's head. And he had won that victory right there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's why he gave his life for us. It was this promise, a promise of hope. If they did not have this promise, there would be chaos and confusion in every family that lives on this earth. But thank God for the promise, and we are seated here because the promise has come to pass. Jesus says, bruise the serpent's head. Jesus has overcome Satan. And we are told the God of peace will crush Satan under our feet. That's the promise. That's the solution to all the problems that we may encounter in our homes, in our families, in our marriages. And these two sins, which were the primary cause for disruption in that first family, is the cause of disruption in many homes and families that have come into existence on this earth, even up to this very day. Unbelief and independence. These were the two sins that separated the first family from God, that brought confusion and disruption. Unbelief. They chose to believe the devil's lie instead of believing God. They doubted his love, and independent. They wanted independence from God. You will be like God. Why do you have to listen? You can become like God. Your eyes will be open. They would not wait for that day when God would open their eyes, for God to do it for them. Unbelief and independence. Hear this, my brothers and sisters, the cause of all the confusion in many homes, in many marriages, in many families. But we can overcome. Like I said, there's always a message of hope that we can overcome. Unbelief that is the cause of broken marriages, of divorce, the cause of conflict and marital discord in many homes. Insubordination and rebellion comes from unbelief and independence. Children want to be independent of their parents. They don't want to be under authority. They don't want to submit to parents. Comes from these two primary sins, unbelief and independence. Let's flush it out of our lives and flush it out of our homes, and we will have happy homes. We'll have a little bit of heaven on earth in our homes. They bring up our children in the fear of God, you young people, to be under authority as long as you live with your parents, to subject, to submit to them. That is your salvation. It'll go well with you all the days of your life on this earth. But if you choose to believe the devil's lie, your parents are old-fashioned. They don't understand you. Your friends understand you. You believe the devil's lie that you can become like this. You choose to be independent. You wives, you want to be independent. You want to follow the women of the world, the women's lib as they call them. You want to be independent. And wives can earn, and perhaps earn more than their husbands. It doesn't change God's laws. Let's recognize these two sins, my brothers and sisters. Unbelief and disobedience. Unbelief and independence. And get rid of it from our homes. That is what brought disruption in the first family. That's what robbed them of the blessing that was to come into their lives, that was come into their family relationships. They believed the devil's lie. We are living in days when it's going to be exactly these two sins that will cause many people to fall away: unbelief and independence. They want to be independent of God. They want to be independent of each other. Wives want to be independent. Husbands want to do their own thing. The Holy Spirit tells us we are to be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Not only wives should be subject to the husbands, but be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. There's no place for independence. We are interdependent, not independent. In the church, there's no place for independence. We are interdependent. But people choose to believe the devil's lie, and that's why so much a disruption and conflict and strife enter into homes and come into churches. And the devil succeeds in dividing homes, the devil succeeds in dividing churches. And in the last days, it is these two sins that will cause many people to fall away. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, they choose to believe the devil's lie. And God Himself will send upon them, it says, a deluding influence. These are the days we are living in. Let's recognize it, my brothers and sisters, and deal with these two sins: unbelief, that we don't believe the devil's lie. We believe God. We believe His promise. I will bless you. I'll make you a blessing. And in you, in your family, other families, all the earth will be blessed. That's the blessing that came to Abraham. I've chosen you, God said to Abraham, that you may command your children after you and your household to keep the way of the Lord. That was God's promise to Abraham, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what He has spoken about him. And God said those words to him when He was bringing judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah. So how can I hide what I'm going to do? And God does not hide from His people what He's doing. We see the signs. We see the judgment is coming. But if we see that God has chosen me, He has chosen me to command my children after me, to command my family after me, that I keep the way of the Lord, I follow the Lord, and I command them to follow after me, so that the Lord will fulfill what He has promised. And what did He promise Abraham? I will bless you and make you a blessing, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, He says, I'll make you a great nation, what we just read. I bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. I bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. And like I said earlier, it is because of Jesus. It is because of the seed. We read that if you turn to Galatians in chapter 3. Galatians in chapter 3 and verse 8. Very powerful words here. It says in verse 8, the scripture foreseeing, listen to that God would justify the Gentiles, that's you and me by faith, preach the gospel beforehand to Abraham. The gospel was preached beforehand to Abraham, I hope you see that, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. There's the first believer. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus, listen to this, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The blessing of Abraham that comes to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. And Paul says then, Ephesians chapter 3 in verse 14, he says, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Do you know there are families in heaven called by name? Paul says, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. That God would would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that God will strengthen you with power. And that's what he prays for there. In Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 1, God says, at that time, at the time of restoration, at that time, declares the Lord, I'll be the God of all the families of Israel, and that is the church, and they shall be my people. So we see that God is interested in us, he's interested in our family. He's interested that we command our children after us. We command our families after us to keep the way of the Lord. And families that become part of the family of God are blessed and are called to be a blessing. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 9, he says, we are called to inherit a blessing. God says, I will bless you and make your name great. I'll make you a blessing. And God wants to bless others through us, my brothers and sisters. He doesn't just think of blessing me. He wants, like Jesus said, rivers of living water to flow through us. God did not curse man, like I said a little while ago. He did not curse Adam, he did not curse Eve. He cursed the serpent, he cursed the earth. But who is it who are cursed? We see that very clearly in what we have. Those who want to live by the law bring themselves under a curse. But Christ became a curse for us. If I try to keep the law, if I try to live a life keeping commandments, living by rules and regulations, I place myself under a curse. We see that very clearly in what we have just read. As many as are of the works of the law in Galatians chapter 3 are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone, listen to this, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Paul was writing this to the Galatians who began well, began by the Spirit, but somehow felt that they had to perfect themselves by living by the law. And Paul, with great burden, writes this letter to the church in Galatia. Because they had gone back under the curse. And he says, who has persuaded you? Which magician has put a spell over you? And I want you to recognize, my dear brothers and sisters, if you live under the law, if you try to make yourself acceptable to God by living by laws and rules and regulations, even the rules of CFC, you place yourself under a curse. God does not curse you. You choose to be under a curse. Remember that. It says in the Message Bible, let me read it to you in Galatians 3:10, and it says that means that anyone who tries to live by his own effort, independent of God, is doomed to failure. Scripture backs this up. Utterly cursed is everyone who fails to carry out every detail written in the book of the law. Utterly cursed is everyone who fails to carry out every detail written in the book of the law. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. And it says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. I don't have to live under the curse. But if I choose to live by the law, I place myself under the curse. But Christ became a curse for me. He redeemed us from the curse. Because he became a curse for us. Cursed is everyone, it says, who hangs on a tree. And there's no ancestral curse. I hope none of you believe in an ancestral curse. Because of what your forefathers did. Because of what your ancestors did. Some curse came upon them. Whatever it is, they were idolaters, they practiced black magic and witchcraft and all these things. No curse can come to you. That curse was broken on the cross of Calvary. Hear this, because I believe there are people today among God's people who believe in an ancestral curse. Believe that something their father did, their grandfather did, brings a curse upon them. There is no curse. Christ became a curse for us. Hear this, my brothers and sisters. We are free. Your grandfather, your father may have been a debaucherer. Your ancestors may have been debaucherers. They may have practiced witchcraft and done all kinds of things and brought a curse on them, but that curse is not passed on to you. We are free. We are blessed. And on the contrary, as we have just read, that we are blessed. I will bless you and make you a blessing. There is no curse, ancestral curse or any curse. There's only one curse if you choose to live under the law. If you choose to be a legalist and a Pharisee, you are under a curse. Scripture says it. God doesn't curse you. You choose it. And so, like we have read, the blessing of Abraham has come to us Gentiles. We are not cursed. We are blessed. Balak the king hired Balaam to put a curse on God's people, the children of Israel. But he couldn't do it. He said, they are blessed. He tried so much and he told King Balak, they are blessed. How can I curse them? His donkey recognized it. Better to be a donkey than a false prophet. His donkey saw that he was mad. His donkey tried to speak to him. The animal kingdom, see that God's people are blessed. My brothers and sisters, and we are called to be a blessing. And the blessing of Abraham. Abraham did not die for you and me. Abraham did not become a curse for you and me. It's Jesus. In your seed. That was the promise. In your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. In Galatians chapter 3, I want you to look at it in verse 16. It says, now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say, and to seeds, as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is Christ. So do we see it? In Christ we are blessed. That is the blessing of Abraham. Not that I can claim Abraham as my father like those people in John chapter 8. They said, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, your father is the devil. If Abraham was your father, you'll do the deeds of your father. But your father is the devil. You don't recognize me. Before Abraham was, I am. It's in Christ. That's the blessing of Abraham that has come down to us Gentiles. I hope you see it. It's blessed my heart. That I'm blessed, my family is blessed. And through me, blessing will go through other families. Do you believe that? You don't believe it? Very weak. In you all the families of the earth will be blessed, says God. Do you believe His word? Do you believe that God wants to bless you and make you a blessing and bless your family, no matter how it is? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your family. That is God's promise. But the devil would get us to, maybe. See how they are. See how my children are. Look at my wife. Look at my husband. Unbelief. Unbelief. That will continue to live like that and you will never come to faith. You'll never have the faith of Abraham. You'll never receive the blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Christ. And so we are to... Scripture also warns us. In the beginning, the devil brought disruption and confusion in that first family. And so he does today also. And we are warned to beware of dogs, Paul says. Beware of dogs. You see it on gates. Remember that? Every time you go past this Philippians, it's there in Scripture. Beware of dogs. They are agents of Satan disguised as angels of light. Who are these people? Titus 1, 10 and 11. Titus chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. He said, there are many rebellious men. Many rebellious men. Empty talkers and deceivers. Especially those of the circumcision. Those who get you to live by the law, to follow rules and commandments. Who must be silenced. Listen to this. Who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families. Teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. And we are seeing that happen today in believing Christendom. Upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. Paul speaks about them, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. And Paul warns against these people. He says, they are those who creep into homes. Among them, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 6 and 7. Among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning. Listen to this. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And they are those who creep into churches also, unnoticed. Jude says this, Jude verse 4. There are certain men, he says, were crept in unnoticed. I wanted to write to you about our common salvation, but I have to write to you something else. To contend earnestly for the faith, because there are certain men who were crept in unnoticed. And that also is happening my brothers and sisters. We are to beware. Be on the alert. Beware of dogs. Beware of those who would take you under the law, who would take you into a gospel that is not the gospel of Christ, who would take you, who would give you a spirit that is not the spirit of Christ, like the Corinthians were so willing to receive, who will speak about a blessing that is not the blessing of Abraham, that is not the blessing of Christ. We are to beware of such people. They creep into homes, they creep into churches. And we are to be on the alert. We are blessed in Christ Jesus. That is it. That is the gospel. We are blessed in Christ Jesus. This is the seed that came through Abraham. In you all the families of the earth will be blessed. In your seed, God said, all the families of the earth will be blessed. In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to us Gentiles. And that has happened. That's the blessing of Christ that has come to us. What does it mean to be blessed? What does it mean to be blessed? I want to leave with you very quickly five things. By this we shall know if we have been blessed. Number one, Acts chapter 3 and verse 26. Acts chapter 3 and verse 26. Do you want this blessing? I praise God for this blessing on my life. This is Peter speaking. After the healing of that lame man who lay there, who was lame from his birth, and they saw a mighty miracle. They saw God raise up that lame man, put him on his feet, and then Peter preaches, takes the opportunity, preaches the gospel. And verse 25 of Acts chapter 3, it is you who are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with your father, saying to Abraham, in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. For you first, God raised up his servant, listen to this, and sent him to bless you. You want this blessing? By turning every one of you from your wicked ways. That is the blessing of God. That's the first thing that happens. If we are blessed with the blessing of Abraham, which is the blessing of Christ, we will turn from our wicked ways, my brothers and sisters. Has that happened to you? Dear young people, you say that you have repented and given your life to Christ. You have surrendered your life to Christ. You speak so much and testify so much. Have you turned from your wicked ways? That's the blessing that we read about. Sent him to bless you by turning every one of you from your wicked ways. Jesus was sent to bless you and me by turning us from our wicked ways. I hope we could say that. That's a first indication that you and I are blessed. We have turned from our wicked ways, and we continually turn from sin. We continually hate sin. You will know for sure that you have been blessed with the blessing of Christ. That there is a blessing on your family, on your home, and in you, all the other families of the earth also will be blessed. Because you have turned from your wicked ways, you can help others to turn from their wicked ways. Peter said in Acts chapter 2 verse 40, when they said, what shall we do to be saved? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. It says there, it says with many other words, he solemnly exhorted them, be saved from this perverse generation. With many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. I turn from my wicked ways, I am saved from this perverse generation. Praise the Lord. I command my children after me to be saved from this wicked generation. Are you doing that, fathers? That's your calling, not just the mother, not just your wife. You as the head of the household, we are called to command our children after us to turn from their wicked ways, to follow after us, to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice. That is how we get ready. That's how we get them ready for the way of the Lord. We don't hit them over the head. We seek to help them and lead them. I believe that's what Abraham did, and that's what many other godly fathers did, like we would see in the scriptures. save them from this perverse generation, and if we are not saved ourselves, we can't save our children. The second thing that happens, if we are blessed, we become a part of God's family on the earth. You know, it's like God takes me and takes my family and puts me in the family of God. That's what happens. He takes you and takes your family. 1 Corinthians 7, Paul says that even if one partner is saved, the husband is saved, the wife is still an unbeliever, your children are sanctified, they're separated. There's a promise for your children. If the wife is the only one saved, the husband is the unbeliever, your children are sanctified, they are holy. God has a purpose for your family. So He takes you, even with all the ones who do not believe, and puts you in the family of God, because you have chosen to follow Him. And we see that we looked at it a couple of weeks ago in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I want you to look at it. It says, "We are the temple of the living God," verse 16, "just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord. And listen to this, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." And we saw chapter 7, verse 1. "Therefore, having these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement, from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, and perfect holiness in the fear of God." I am put into the family of God. What greater blessing. I'm put into the family of God. There's a hedge around me. There's a hedge around my home. There's a hedge around my family. The devil cannot touch me. He cannot touch a member of my family because I belong to Him. The blessing of Christ has come upon me. I hope you see this. The third thing, to know that we are blessed, in Galatians 3:14, we have read it. We will receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Acts chapter 2 and verses 38 and 39. Peter says, "Repent and each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Listen to this now. "For the promise is for you and your children and all who are far off," even your children who are far off, "as many as the Lord our God will call to Himself." You will receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, and in a matter of time that you can lead your children, you can command your children, you can lead your family to receive the blessing of Christ, to come under the blessing of Christ and receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That's what happened to Cornelius, his whole family. They didn't just get baptized in water that night. You know what happened before that? The Holy Spirit came upon them, upon his whole family. Because he commanded his children. He brought them up in the fear of God, a Gentile, an unbeliever, not a Jew. But he feared God, he gave many alms, and that was the testimony. That was the testimony God had about him. He feared God, he brought up his household in the fear of God. And so when God visited Cornelius, he visited his family. The Holy Spirit came upon them. And they were baptized. God doesn't pour his Holy Spirit upon those who are unregenerate, on those who do not acknowledge their sin. Cornelius' family was ready. That's how we are to get our families ready, my brothers and sisters. They will receive the promise of the Spirit. Peter says there, this promise is for you and for your children and your grandchildren. Do you believe it, my brothers and sisters? Or you just read it? Yeah, maybe. Look at how they're living. Look at what he is today. Look at what she is today. And we give up on them. And we give up on others. This promise is for you and for your children. Amen. Believe it with all your heart. I believe it. And my grandchildren. The Spirit of God will come upon them, changing them, making them into different men and different women. I believe it with all my heart, no matter what their condition is today. And the fourth thing, to know that we are blessed. You know, God, Paul and Silas in prison, when they When that jailer said, what should I do? And there was an earthquake. What should I do? Acts chapter 16, verse 31. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your family, you and your household. And we are told in Hebrews in chapter 11, verse 7, it says that by faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. Are we doing that, my brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers? Are we preparing an ark for the salvation of our household, for our family, by which it says he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith? By faith, Noah prepared an ark. He did not, you know, just just went and, you know, worked on the ark with all the others. You know, you can do that. You can work in the church. You can serve the church and you neglect your family. I said that last week. Your family is first. Church comes second, and what you do for the church is second. There's a church in your home, my dear brother and sister. And that comes first. And you can give yourself and get absorbed in doing something for the church and sacrifice and neglect your family. Noah didn't do that. He prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. And they were saved. Eight persons brought safely through the water. And that should be my hope. That should be my confidence. I want to bring, nobody's going to be left back. Not one of my children will be left behind. They will all be saved. And I'm going to pray and seek God. And I'm going to live in such a way that they will all be saved. My household will all be saved. They will all be there. Do you strive? Do you seek for that? Or you say, it's okay, I'm saved. You know, if they want to, we just leave them alone. Unbelief, my dear brothers and sisters. I believe many of you sitting here are so unbelieving. You don't believe that your children will be saved. You don't believe that their way will be taken. You're willing to let them be left behind. God forbid. I will fight with the Lord and strive that every one of them will be there. Noah saved his family. He brought eight persons safely through the water. I want to bring all my eight safely through the water. And my family also, the extended family. I don't want to see any one of these young people. I don't want to see any one of these children left behind. I will fight and strive with God. I can't do anything about those who are on the fence, on the periphery. But those who are under our charge, we will seek and we will labor that they will all be presented to God. They'll all be there on that last day. Not one will be left behind. Prepare an ark, my brothers and sisters. Give yourself to the church to build this ark. We are preparing an ark here. We are building an ark for the salvation of this family. Everyone. Not just our own immediate physical family. May God help us. May God give us grace. That is my desire. I'm not satisfied that all my eight members come to the Lord and their families. I want to see, this is the family of God. God has put me here. I want to labor and strive that every one of you will be presented. None will be left behind. What a grief it will be. And we can go on laboring. And unfortunately, there are some who will not hear, who will still believe the devil's lie. I can't do anything. We can't do anything. Unbelief. They want to be independent. They want to do their own thing. They are a law unto themselves. We can't help such people. But those who have ears to hear, we can help. Those who have a hunger and a longing, we can lead them and help them. Finally, the fifth thing, that we know that we are blessed in Malachi chapter 2. Very blessed. I want you to read it. Husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, and all your young people, because one day you also will be in this category. Malachi chapter 2. I'm taking a little extra time so that these things can be impressed upon our heart, because I believe it's so important. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 15. I want you to follow it there. Malachi chapter 2 verse 15. Maybe we can read a little before that. Verse 13. There's another thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and with groaning, because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. But not one who has done so, who has a remnant of the Spirit. And what did that one do while he was seeking a godly offspring? Take heed then to your spirit, and let no one deal treacherously against the wife of your youth. For I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel, and him who covers his garment with wrong, says the Lord of hosts. So take heed to your spirit, that you do not deal treacherously. I want to read that to you from the Message Bible. It comes out so powerfully there. It says there, because God was there as a witness when you spoke your marriage vows to your young bride. Listen to this, all of you who are married and those to be married. God was there when you spoke your marriage vows to your young bride, and now you've broken those vows. Broken the faith bond with your vowed companion, your covenant wife. God, not you, made marriage. Listen to this. His Spirit inhabits even the smallest details of marriage. And what does he want from marriage? Sexual fulfillment? Somebody to cook your meals? Somebody to keep the house and to look after the children? Is that what God wants from your marriage? Somebody will be there to pick up your clothes, to iron your clothes. Is that what God wants from marriage, my brothers and sisters? What does God want from marriage? Children of God, that's what. Children of God, that's what. Godly offspring, godly seed. That was the promise God gave me before I was married, when I could have messed up my life. And I said, Lord, I don't want to mess up my life. I want to start all over again. And that was the promise that God gave me. You will raise up a godly offspring. God has fulfilled it and is fulfilling it. Believe it, my brothers and sisters. This is the purpose. What does God want from your marriage? Godly children. All the other things are secondary. What are you looking for? Young people who want to get married, what are you looking for? Handsome guy? Guy who earns plenty of money? Who has a car? Who has a house? You're looking for all these things? They may be. It's necessary to live in a house, not in a hut. But what are you looking for? You young men, what are you looking for? A pretty girl, one who's fair? Are you looking for that, or are you looking for somebody that you can have a godly marriage and raise up godly children? I thank God that has been my desire. That has been my desire. And I thank God that that was a promise that He gave me. And I want to say that that is a blessing of Abraham. That is a blessing of Christ. I pray to God that you will see it, my dear young brothers and sisters, my dear fathers and mothers, husbands and wives. Let us take heed to our spirit in these last days, that we are faithful to the wife we have made a covenant with, that you are faithful to the husband you made a covenant with. You are not thinking, I wish she was like sister so and so. And you are not thinking and saying to him, I wish you were like brother so and so. Adultery. See it. Let's take heed to our spirit. We are living in dangerous days. Let's really seek to bring up godly children. Is that your desire, at least from today? Will you make it your desire, my dear brother and sister, my dear mother and father, my dear husbands and wives? Lord, I want to bring up godly children, children of God, who will be a blessing to you, because in me, my family has been blessed. You promised that you will save my whole family. So I'm going to command. I want you to notice that. I want to close with that. God said to Abraham, I've chosen him that he may command, not suggest. He may command his children and his household after him. He didn't suggest. He didn't give them nice little eulogies. In today's, you know, psychology, you must talk to them. You know, you must understand them. It says, the Holy Spirit says that he may command his children and his family after him. Not in a legalistic way. but in the Spirit of God and Spirit of gentleness, to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, to command our children and our family after me. Notice that. I want to underline that word also. After us. If I am not keeping the way of the Lord, they will not keep it. I can't command them. They will rebel against that command. And that's what Noah did. That's what Job did. We have many, we don't have time, many, many examples. The family of Rechab in Jeremiah 35, you read about them. Their father said, don't drink wine, don't build a house. You should not have fields and should not have property. And even when Jeremiah and the others brought wine before them and said, no, this is the command our father gave. They were, God said to them, they will not lack a member. They will always have somebody living. And probably even till today, the family of Rechab, the family we see of Joseph and Mary, even after reprimanding Jesus. Any parent would be thinking, 3 days he was missing. But yet, it says there that the child, that he went down and he continued in subjection. That speaks of a godly upbringing, even though he was a son of God, even though Mary pondered all those things the angel said to her in her heart, but Jesus was under their authority. They had to bring him up in the fear of the Lord. They had to command him. And so he went down and he was in joyfully, he submitted to them, even though he was more spiritual than them, even though the questions that he was asking the religious leaders, they were amazed at his teaching. That's how we are to bring up our children. Timothy, there's another example. Without a godly father, but had a godly mother, had a godly grandmother, and became a co-worker of Paul, became an apostle. And you have the bad example. Contrast Eli. It says the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. 1 Samuel 2:12. If you like to look at it. It says Eli was very old and he heard all that his sons were doing to all Israel. 1 Samuel 2:22 to 24. And how they lay with the women who served at the doorway of the tent of meeting. He said to them, why do you do such things, the evil things that I hear from all these people? No, my sons, for the report is not good which I hear the Lord's people circulating. Do you see that there? He had to get it from the Lord's people. He didn't know what his sons were doing. He had to hear the Lord's people, the gossip that was being, you know, Eli's sons, you know what they're doing? Don't follow his example. It's not good what I hear. We must know what our children are doing. Not get it from somebody else. We must know, we must monitor their activities. Not that we sit over their heads like a policeman. But we don't have to get it from other people. David and his sons, who was a man after God's own heart, but an utter failure in his home. We read it there, we don't have time to look at it. He was busy fighting the Lord's battles. He was busy with gathering material to build the ark of God, but he had a weakness for attractive women. He was a thorough failure in his home. We read that Adonijah, one of his sons, it says in the Message Bible, his father had spoiled him rotten as a child, never once reprimanding him. Never crossed or spoiled or pained him any time. The version we all have. Never once spoiled him. Are we guilty of that? We have our own favorites. We have more than one child. Spoil them rotten. Spare the rod and spoil the child. Like it says. Give them some pain. No matter how good looking he is. And no matter how pretty she is. Give them some pain on the right place. God has provided a place. That's what we are to do, my brothers and sisters. Command our children after us to keep the way of the Lord. And I pray to God that we will have families in this church. We will have husbands who will command their children and their family after them to keep the way of the Lord. Remember why God has chosen and called you. Bless you, make you a blessing, and your family will be blessed, and in you all other families will be blessed. That is why God has called you and chosen you. That is why God has put you in His family, the family of God. May God speak to our hearts that there would be a revival in our homes, in our family life, that we take heed to what God's word says, that we hear what the Spirit is saying in these last days to the churches. Amen. Let's close our eyes. God has called you and chosen you, my dear brother, my dear sister. You live a life that is pleasing to Him, and your life will influence others, especially those of your own family. They will be saved. Believe God, trust Him, seek that they would come through, be saved from this perverse generation. Lord, please help us. We are living in terribly evil days, and we know how the devil has succeeded in disrupting and bringing confusion in many homes and families of your people. But we don't want to give him room in any home or any family in this church. And we pray you raise up godly families, godly homes. I pray, Lord Jesus, you'd pour out your Spirit upon us, like you did upon Cornelius and his family. Pour out your Spirit upon every family of this church. For your name's sake, amen.
Not just today, we can modify that and say, Lord, as long as I'm alive on this earth, Lord, make me a blessing wherever I go. And that's our calling, brothers and sisters. And you know, every promise God gave, there's a condition. God called Abraham and said, Abraham, come out of your country. Go forth from your country, your relatives, your father's house, to the land I'll show you. And God said, I will make you a blessing, and you'll be a blessing. You know why God did such a fantastic work in Abraham? Abraham obeyed God. God said, leave your home. Leave your unconverted relatives. Abraham said, yes, Lord. Immediately left the unconverted relatives. And I believe that's the reason God blessed Abraham so mightily. And then, you know, still some relatives were hanging around Abraham. And then God told Abraham, you got to even separate from Lot. Abraham separated from Lot. And immediately Lot said, I'm going to bless you. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, every step of obedience will bring the blessing of God on your life. All the fathers and mothers, all the young brothers and sisters, why can't you get the blessing of God on your life? You live in such a way. Let the blessing of God come on you, on your family, and to everyone around. And God told Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. Abraham had to believe and believe and believe for 25 years. Can we trust the Lord, brothers and sisters? You say, brother, my son is not saved. My daughter is not saved. I hope it won't be 25 years. But say, Lord, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to believe you, Lord. And me and my house, we're going to live for you and serve you. And oh, let faith spring up in the hearts of everyone this morning. Not just me. And I hope all of us husbands and wives, fathers and mothers will say, Lord, we want to be wholehearted, we want to obey you and follow you all the way. And then Abraham waited and waited and waited and inherited the promises. And then the Lord told Abraham, one day God told Abraham, and Abraham said, here am I. I hope all of us will respond to God like that. Whenever the Lord calls, here I am, Lord, go and circumcise your son. What the Lord's telling us today is, don't live after the flesh. Learn to walk in the Spirit. I hope you'll say, here I am, Lord. I don't want to live after my lust. Oh, may the Lord do such a work of circumcision in our hearts that we can say, Lord, no longer I live for my lust. You do that, brothers and sisters, the blessing of the Lord will come. It's not going to come automatically, I'm telling you. I'm sorry to say that. And not only that, Abraham had to be broken. Oh, it took him so many years till he came to a place where he just could not manage. He had to come to a place. He tried to produce Hagar. The Lord said, no, no, no. Sorry, Abraham. You got to be broken till you come to a place of helplessness. Brothers and sisters, the Lord wants to bless us. He wants us to be broken. And some of us, they get scared by the word brokenness. Oh brother, brokenness and all. let's talk about heaven, going to heaven, streets of gold, brokenness. Some of us, you know, the word cross means some people are allergic, obedient means they're allergic, and brokenness means many people are allergic. Are you allergic this morning to the word brokenness? The Lord wants to break us so that we come to a place where we can't manage ourselves. Lord, I need you. I need your help. And I want to tell you, brothers, the Lord wants to break us and make us a blessing. And then the blessing starts flowing and overflowing. Oh, may the Lord, you know, the Moody said that the Lord, a man is something like that. He said, Charles, you know what he said? He says, the world is yet to know what the Lord will do through a man who is totally yielded to him. Shall I repeat again? I hope I'm repeating correctly. The world is yet to know what the Lord will do through a man who is wholly yielded and surrendered to him. You want the blessing of God in your life, brothers and sisters? I hope this morning you will say, Lord, here I am, Lord. I want to be totally obedient. I want to be totally against all unconverted. I mean, relationship with all unconverted people who hinder me from growing in you. And Lord, I will do anything you tell me. I'll give up anything you want me to give up. And I want to yield myself, Lord, every day to you. And I want to tell you, the Lord says, I'll bless you and make you a blessing. And not when I get to heaven. I believe, brothers, the Lord wants to bless us here on earth in our lifetime. Why don't you say, why don't you trust the Lord? Lord, bless me in my lifetime, Lord. While I'm on this earth, I want to see the blessing of God come on many others through me. Wherever you go, you go to work, you can bless the people at the place of work. You visit the relatives, you can bless the relatives. You visit your neighbors and friends, you can bless them. What a wonderful way to live on this earth, brothers and sisters. Daily yielding ourselves to the Lord, daily seeking to be obedient, daily walking in fellowship. Abraham is one of the few men on earth who walked with God. I hope you and I will also be like Abraham, will say, Lord, I want to walk with you, Lord, every day of my life. And I want the blessing of God. And shall we say, Lord, I'm willing to pay the price. I see a silence now. Will you say that? I'm willing to pay the price, Lord, to be a blessing, no matter what. Break me, Lord. Melt me, Lord. Mold me, Lord. Crush me, Lord. And make me a blessing. Do anything, Lord, to make me a blessing. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, rivers of living water will flow from our lives. Like we say, even from me. Say that, even from me. Rivers of living water flow. And oh, may we trust the Lord. And shall we close our eyes and respond to God this morning? Oh, I hope you understand the heart of God to bless you and make you a blessing. Father, we want to thank you and praise you, Lord, for your heart. That you want to lay hold of us. That you seek to lay hold of human beings and change them and transform them. And that you seek to make them a blessing. Oh, we want to thank you for the tremendous possibilities we have here on this earth. And this morning we pray, Lord, you will give us grace to respond to the work of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Help us, Lord, fathers and mothers sitting here and brothers and sisters sitting here, that they'll respond like Abraham. And Lord, work in us through your Spirit this morning, that the blessing of Abraham may come on every one of us mightily, Lord, that we'll become fruitful on this earth, that we'll go around blessing all those whom we meet, Lord. We pray that, Lord, you will bless everyone here sitting, Lord. Yes, Lord, with the blessing of Abraham. And fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Fulfill your word in our lives, Lord. In our lifetime, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we, human beings, can be saved by grace through faith and become a blessing, Lord. We want to praise you for this tremendous possibility, Lord. We believe, Lord, this morning. We believe that you'll do through each and every one of us, Lord. We honor you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you. We honor you, Lord. We give you glory and praise, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.